to Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praise.
And a very good morning to you. We're in the second half of today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows. We're talking about Come Clean in 2015. And we are welcoming your phone calls at 855-454-5905. We're going to take a look back at our second favorite book, and that's Facebook, to see what people are saying. We were in the midst of a conversation about that, and we're going to rejoin that now. Marcos, you were telling us about an interesting post,
an anonymous post. Well, it wasn't anonymous, but they didn't necessarily say, hey, share this on the air. So for lack of time, I said, hey, let's just go ahead and keep their name private. Mm-hmm. But if you ever send us a message on Facebook, understand, you know, we'll ask you usually if it's okay to share. Mm-hmm. And if it's, you know, before we do that, if for some reason we can't reach you, we'll make sure we share it and protect your mm-hmm. Privacy there. But others might not mind. And you might say, hey, you can use my name, please. Even better. Sometimes people feel like it's more powerful when they can connect to the individual. But nevertheless, you know, right before the break, we talked about and shared what someone just sent and saying, listen, they just tried to confront their husband, and other people do as well, but they just seem to get very defensive. Like, it's never good. It's never it's to the point where people don't even want to confront them mm-hmm. anymore, because it never works. Right. It doesn't. It's not pleasant confrontation, if you would. Mm-hmm. The husband's just not humble. So, you know, one of the things I have mentioned, I said, listen, pride is very difficult to deal with. You know, Proverbs 16, verse 18 says, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. You know, and Proverbs 8:13 says, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior, and perverse speech. And mm-hmm. then I'll read this last one here, Proverbs 11:2. When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. You know, mm-hmm. as with that contrast, you know, it sounds like in this case that the husband really does lack humility. Mm-hmm. And when someone lacks humility, you know, number one, just pray for them, because they will fall, and they'll fall really hard. God hates mm-hmm. pride. God loves humility. When we're mm-hmm. just humble and we're just saying, listen, we're willing to humble out and just, hey, I just want to get some help. I just want to, you know, what do you think? I'm sorry. You know, humility listens. Mm-hmm. You know, someone's not being humble when they're trying to talk and you're still talking. They're not listening. You can't talk and listen at the same time. So mm-hmm. you got to be quiet, mm-hmm. listen. And then, you know, always try to put yourself in their shoes and say, start with, I'm sorry. It goes a long way.
Yeah.
You know, it just does. It's like just having that compassion. So, again, we just hope and pray that that helps. If not, just give us a call. We can have more conversation about this. Let's go back to our phone lines.
Yeah, but to give us a call, you have to dial 855-454-5905. So we have Lou, who has been waiting patiently online for calling in from Philly. Lou, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning to both of you.
Good morning. Well, thank you, Lou. Yeah, God bless you, too.
It's a great opportunity to fellowship with a great topic. I have so much to say because I've been listening to you guys for about 3 weeks, and I keep getting the 454-5495-43.
Oh, no.
It's been so hard to try and figure while I'm driving how to figure out what that number was. So finally this week I got it straight.
All right, there you go. It is a little, and Tiffany makes it sound so easy, right? It's like 855-454-5905.
I know.
You know, we kind of learned it already, but I'm glad maybe you've called some other places, but thank you so much for your persistence in calling in. So Lou, what did you want to talk about? I know you said there's a lot. We are talking about coming clean in 2015.
Yeah.
So is there something in your life that you've had to come clean, or you've had to deal with, or you're dealing with now?
Well, there's a couple of issues. One is I'm in love with this woman that I went to high school with, and we separated in college, and we got back together, and we've been together for 20 years, and I love her to death. And I have to revert back to my youth.
Okay.
When I have issues that are difficult to deal with, because my love for her is more important than the issue.
Okay.
And once I revert back and I look, like you said, in her shoes, I'm able to come up with a better idea. And I pray on it, and it works out well. But one of the things that I wanted to say was that it just seems to me, I started out my Christian experience as a Catholic.
Okay.
And I've always been in a position where I had to kneel in a confession booth and go and say some Hail Marys and Our Fathers and I'll be absolved. And I got smacked a few times to become a Christian, you know. So it's been a strange upbringing for a child. But now I'm Baptist, and I did that so that we can worship together. And in the process, I just think that there's a lot of things that we can take to the Lord that we don't have to put it on the altar, that we don't have to put on each other. Okay. And if we work it with the Lord, we can get through it. Although it's nice to be able to talk about it, and it's wonderful to be able to share, sometimes it's not necessarily accepted well, and it's misunderstood sometimes.
Okay, so pause for a second, Lou. I think because you've said a lot, and you got me thinking. My upbringing was the same, and I think. You know, the Bible is clear what it says, right? It says, confess your sins to one another. It doesn't say who one another, you know, who that is per se, right? Does that mean do you always confess to your wife? Do you have other people in your life? Like, I'll give you a perfect example. Sometimes, you know, group of brothers, just men, you know, might struggle with their purity and they're tempted to lust or give in to something. Is that something you necessarily confess to your wife? And if you do, you know, how is she going to feel? So, again, so that's kind of open, right? Like who that is, you know, in the Catholic Church, you know, that little confessional booth. It doesn't always have to be a confessional booth, right? But that's the norm. And I think it's so that people would just feel better. That was my upbringing as well. The problem with that, I think, is that there was no accountability. It was more like, hey, I got it off my chest. I feel better. But there was no like, hey, I'm praying for you. And hey, how's it going with this? So, Lou, you've been struggling with pornography. You confessed it. How's it going, bro? Like, you know, you don't have that. And I think, you know, that to me, when I read that scripture, that's the most important part there. It's not so much confessing so that you can feel better, although sometimes you do, getting it off your chest. But other times it's really hey, I need some people in my corner because I can't beat this by myself. This is tempting. This is hard. Pray for me. Now, with that said, I do agree that there are some things that should be secret. I'll give you an example. My wife, and I kind of get a kick out of this, and my pride gets hurt a little bit, but I try to laugh it off more than take it serious. But I'm grateful for this, to be honest with you, Lou, because there have been things that my wife in the past would mention to me, like she felt like I really needed to change and do differently. And I wouldn't get it. As a matter of fact, I would get very defensive. Like, I don't know what you're talking about, or why are you saying this? So she got to a point where she said, you know, instead of talking about these things, I'm just going to secretly pray to God about these things, how I feel, what I see. And then she was like blown away, because then is when she started realizing that I was changing. And so the minute she stopped talking to me about it and took it to God, it's like her prayers got answered. And I think that happened in many ways. I definitely believe God had to change some things in me and make things clear. But I also think that it was healthier for our relationship where it wasn't, her frustrations weren't being kind of put back on me. So here it is. I did something wrong. She would point it out. And it was like we were caught in this crazy cycle instead of just like, you know what? She would surrender it to God. And then God in his time would make it clear to me. And then when I was ready to see it, I would humble out because I love God. And it was a win-win for everyone. And so I agree with you, Lou. I don't know if that's exactly what you were saying, but there are some things that you might not necessarily need to talk about, but I tell you what, at some point you do. You can say, wow, you know, and this has been healthy for my marriage when my wife has said, you know, honey, it was so difficult to talk to you about this. But
I think it's healthy once you feel as though you're over it and you don't have the issue anymore.
Well, once it's not so emotionally charged.
Right.
Because that's when the arguments come, right? When you're emotionally charged. And so you start saying things like, I'll give you an example, Lou. You'll say, you never listen to me. Well, that's not true. I'm sure I listen. I might just not be listening right now. But because you're emotionally charged, you start saying things like, you never listen to me. And then that doesn't help, because those are always fighting words. Never, always, those absolute words are, you're going to start a fight. So, Lou, we want you to hold on just one second. I know you've been waiting patiently. We do need to take one more break, but we are going to come back to you. And this is a great conversation we want to have. And we also want to tell Terrence and anyone else who's waiting on the line to please wait patiently. We will get to you.
All right. With that said, we'd love for you to give us a call if you're not yet on the line at 855-454-5905. And stay with us. Marriage Beyond the Vows continues after this.
Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praise.
And a very good morning to you. We're now in the final segment of today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows. Give us a call at 855-454-5905. We're talking about coming clean in 2015. When we left off before the break, we were talking to Lou from Philadelphia. We're going to rejoin that conversation at this time. Lou, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Lou, again, thank you so much for waiting patiently. And we've had such a great conversation. We're like, hey, let's bring you back after the break. And although we have quite a few folks waiting patiently, we wanted to finish up our conversation with you, Lou. So if anyone missed it, right before the break, we were talking about, you know, what do you do in a situation like we had discussed? We were talking about, you know, do you necessarily confess to your spouse, and do you bring up everything, or are there things you don't bring up? And what Lou and myself were talking about is that sometimes you always bring it up. It's just a matter of when you bring it up. And the last thing we have said is you should bring it up once it's resolved, not necessarily when things are emotionally charged. Correct, Lou?
That's a better answer than what I started out with when I called in. I think you came to a better conclusion for me then and what I would have come to by myself. So I appreciate that.
No, absolutely.
Great. And it's a need for the conversation. So thank you very much.
And thank you. And you know what? I think that helps when folks like you say, hey, listen, I'm listening, I'm getting it, but I want to pick up the phone and have further conversation. And that's really what the show is all about. So we thank you very much for listening and for calling in this morning.
Oh, well, I do that. I've been doing that ever since I heard Tiffany, and I told Tiffany, I said, she's better than pork bacon and much better than turkey bacon. It's a bacon for the spirit.
Yeah. And for those who don't know, her last name is Bacon. So that's right. All right. Well, Lou, thank you.
We're going to have you over to the church for a men's fellowship. So I'll call during the week and see if we can set something up.
Absolutely. That'd be great. And if you need to reach us, or you could actually get the number from Larry, how to reach us off the air.
All right. Okay.
Thank you, Lucy. Just hold on 1 second and speak to our producer, Larry.
Thank you.
God bless you.
All right. Take care. All right. Take care. Let's go to Terrence calling in from North Carolina. Terrence, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Thank you so much. Again, we apologize for having you wait so long, but we appreciate your persistence. What is your comment or question for us, Terrence, this morning?
I've listened to the show just by every chance I get on the weekends, and I really enjoy the show. You give a lot of, you know, sound, biblical-based advice, which is something, you know, that I always listen to more so than anything that's out in the natural world.
Amen. Well, thank you.
I appreciate that.
Okay, well, thank you. And so now you're going through something you want to share with us and you want to get some input?
Yes. Basically, I've been married going into my 6th year, and my wife, she's a little younger than me. I'm 43. My wife is a little younger than me. And we have a lot of issues with respect and just the other people trying to dictate, you know, to her how she should be in her marriage.
And those people are not necessarily folks that are being helpful. You mean that they're okay. So they're not helpful. Okay.
Advice. You know, and, you know, when we got married, you know, we got married and we promised ourselves of our marriage, how, you know, to redeem it, and, you know, this is what God put together, and so forth, you know, and, you know, basically, you know, we go to a very solid church here in North Carolina, and, you know, year after year, you know, we've been going up for prayer on New Year's, and, you know, they say this is, you know, marriage, do this, and they do this and that.
Amen.
And basically, nothing has really changed throughout that year. They start off a little strong.
Well, let me ask you this, Terrence. You're concerned, and it sounds like the issue you're having is revolving respect or the lack of respect that your wife gives you. And the women around her that are giving her advice are basically giving her bad advice. Instead of saying, hey, respect your husband, they're like giving her things that are causing even more division and more strife. What would you think your wife would say if we were to ask her what her challenge is in the marriage or something that maybe you needed to change? What would you think her greatest or number one complaint would be?
I guess probably being more open with her.
Okay. So she doesn't feel like you're open enough or transparent or what?
Yes.
Would she say that you're dishonest?
At times she thinks I am.
Okay. And so does that dishonesty, when she feels that way, does that kind of cause her to react? And that's when she's disrespectful. Like, listen, how could I respect you? You're not honest with me. You lie to me, this kind of thing. Does that sound like it starts going in that direction?
Yes, it does.
You know, I don't know if you know this. There's a book out there, actually. It's called Love and Respect. It's by Dr. Emerson. And one of the things he talks about is the crazy cycle. I actually made reference to it earlier. You know, Ephesians talks about us making sure that we, the husband loves the wife and the wife respect the husband. And so what he says is, listen, that we get caught in this crazy cycle where the wife doesn't feel loved. And so she becomes disrespectful and the husband doesn't feel respected. So then he doesn't show love. And, you know, it really doesn't matter who starts. It's just the fact that we get caught in this cycle where, listen, I'm not going to respect you because you weren't loving. And you know, vice versa, I'm not going to be loving because I don't feel like being loving because you're so disrespectful. And then he talks about how to break that cycle. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but I would recommend that you kind of study that out, you know, based on the book of Ephesians, out of respect for one another and really submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. But I think what happens here is somebody has to make the decision, Terrence, to be righteous no matter what. And so even if your wife is unlovable, you made a vow to love her. Even if you don't deserve the respect because you mess up or you did something that hurt your wife, she needs to respect you and be respectful. And it's very hard to do. You know, Luke 9:23 talks about denying ourselves. It goes against our grain. Our natural tendency is to fight back, retaliate, you know, want to kind of get our way. But the Bible, it says, man, out of reverence for Christ, we do the right thing. And so my question would be, how can you make sure you work on your end, what your wife's complaint is, without focusing on the stuff that she needs to focus, you know, needs to change? Do you think that's something you can do?
Yes.
All right. So,
I do my best to put myself aside and try to look at her, you know, because I know that she needs more attention than I do.
Okay. Okay, well, that might be the case, but, like, give me an example of something that she does that is disrespectful.
We're very close with some of the elder events in that church, and they come by from time to time, you know.
Okay.
But they sit down and they minister to us about, you know, things, how to strengthen our marriage, you know, things like that. And we listen, and then when she starts speaking, she gets very irate. Say things in her mouth that are just downright disrespectful, you know, especially in front of, you know, no matter, you know, what the issue is, some things still remain in-house. You know, most recent situation, you know, she kind of jumped in my face. I'm like, are you serious?
So you feel like she does she do this deliberately to hurt you, or does she get so emotional that she just kind of starts saying hurtful things?
Yeah, it's more so just she gets emotional. Says whatever she said out of mouth without thinking about it.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, Terrence, I think your approach hasn't worked, you know, and I think it's time. And something I had to learn is, you know, how can you get through to her and what's going to make a difference? And I don't know if you've done this already, but even studying things out together with your wife and working on things together, like, here, this is what I'm going to work on, and this is what you're going to work on, you know, but without you dictating to her, but really committing to this. We're getting ready in March to have a Marriage Beyond the Vows conference It's part of the a bigger conference that we're having here with, you know, Radio One Philadelphia. And I know you're in North Carolina, but I think it would be great to even have like a little getaway and say, hey, let's go away. Let's go visit this. Let's work on our relationship. And it doesn't have to be just this, but I mean, thinking, how can you invest in your marriage to get some outside help, even outside of the norm of whatever you've done, if that hasn't worked?
Yeah, I know. You know, we went up for, you know, for a prayer for New Year's Eve, kind of, and then I went up for prayer, then she went up for prayer, then they eventually called us both up for prayer and had us, you know, prostrate, laid out in the church, and you know, things like that. You
okay.
know? And you know, it's like, okay, we have a new beginning again. You know, we kind of washed away whatever was in 2014.
Amen.
Start 2015, I started this off on the right foot.
Excellent.
But it's a series like a communication on both parts.
It is. And I think that's probably one of the most humble things I heard you say. It is both parts. And so, unfortunately, we can't change anyone else, right? We can't change our spouses. So starting with you, like, what can you do better this year to communicate the right way? All right. But Terrence, we really do appreciate it. Sounds like you're heading in the right direction. I think that starting the year with prayer is definitely the key. Okay.
Great.
Absolutely. Well, Terrence, we thank you so much for your call today.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right, we are open for your calls right now. Reach out to us at 855-454-5905. It's Marriage Beyond the Vows, talking about coming clean in 2015. Let's go to Yolanda calling in from the Philadelphia area on line one. Yolanda, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning. So what is your comment or question for us this morning, Yolanda?
Well, it's more I need advice. Make a long story short, I used to date a man and we were going to get married, and I had left him years ago, and we have a daughter. Mm-hmm. He never got to meet his daughter until about 5 years ago. He didn't really know about her. He knew that she might have existed, but that was it. I moved away. So he came back looking for me. We started dating. We got engaged. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, I wasn't really happy, and I didn't understand why.
Okay.
Things happened between us that I thought that was really wrong. And in the midst of it, I prayed to God, and I was saved last April. And I started changing. Okay. And I had decided that I was praying, and God said, you know, it's not right that you guys are living together. And I said, okay. So I took a vow of celibacy, and it seems like everything just went downhill from there. And I sat him down and I explained to him that this is something that I needed to do.
Okay.
Then I started noticing other things, and I think they were always there, but I think now I was just seeing them.
Okay.
That he was very manipulative and very controlling, and, you know, the issue, we moved into one of my homes.
Okay.
To save money so we can buy a house because we were getting married. So as the wedding date approached, in the meantime, you know, I would ask him, would you go, please come to church with me? And he would say no, and I would respect that, because just because I was saved didn't mean that I had to enforce this on him.
Mm-hmm.
And I started noticing I became argumentative, because I just couldn't understand why, if something was for the better for us, why he couldn't see the issues. So I had asked him that we needed a break.
Okay.
And he still hasn't moved out, and more things were revealed. We were talking about us getting together, finish what we started, buying the house, getting married. And then he said, well, what are you bringing to the table? And I said, well, when you get married, you're supposed to be one. So, of course, my rental properties, because I have two, our money will go into one pot. And we would buy whatever out of the pot.
Okay.
You know? And he says, well, no, because I'm getting ready to retire and I'm getting a lump sum.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, I understand you want to buy your car, whatever it is. I said, but still, marriage is about one, being one. And what's mine is yours and what's yours is mine. And I'm not a woman, and he'll even say this, that I like luxury. I don't. Mm-hmm. I'm not someone that spends $100 on shoes, or, you know, I buy things when we need it. You know, I don't mismanage money. I have an issue with, I like bills being paid on time. And I started realizing that he doesn't. And I said, well, you know, bills have to be on pay time. We can't buy things unless we really could afford it, you know. And that's when he lashed at what I stepped back and I said, am I fooling myself that this is still going to work? Because God says you're supposed to love your wife,
okay,
you know, unconditionally. And I don't feel like if I'm going to get that.
Okay. Well, a couple of things, Yolanda. Number one, let me commend you on your decision to do things the right way. I loved how you shared your testimony and how you shared how, you know, this relationship was definitely not a good relationship. And even when you got back together, you're like, something's missing. And of course you knew, you know, you needed, you know, this relationship with God. You know, without Jesus, you don't have that complete relationship, right? And so again, I commend you for that. And I commend you for, you know, even taking that next step to say, hey, we're in sin. You know, I can't do this. I'm going to be celibate. I got to please God. So I commend you for that. Something I have a problem with, and it's not necessarily with you, Yolanda, as much as the process is, blows my mind when, you know, so many people are not taught, you know, what salvation really is in terms of understanding what you're committing to Christ first. You know, Jesus called disciples to follow him. They understood what it meant to follow him. And although you know, the Bible says in Matthew 28 to make disciples, right? You baptize them, you teach them to obey. I think too few people are really taught to obey. And that's a shame on the church, right? That's a shame on, hey, we're not equipping people to really understand what it means to have that salvation, to make it and to be successful. I mean, really, that's the goal, right? The goal is to be successful, not just hey, you got this relationship with God, you know, good luck. It's like, hey, how do we get you, you know, taught to obey? And so there's a scripture in 2 Corinthians 6 that should have been shared with you and should have been talked to you about way before you even, as you're counting the cost of making a decision to make Jesus Lord of your life. And 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common, or what fellowship can light have with darkness? And it's a great passage that Paul is sharing with the church in Corinth and saying, listen, being yoked, it's being closely connected and easily influenced by someone who's not a believer. It doesn't mean, you know, you become a Christian and now you have nothing to do with non-Christians. No, but it does mean that you can't be in a serious relationship with someone. Now, it's different if you're already married to someone. Paul actually explains it and says, now, if you're married to them, you're already one. And so you can, by your example, hopefully win them over. But if you're not, what someone should have done with you, Yolanda, is help you understand, listen, if you're going into this relationship with God, then this relationship with this non-Christian can't happen. You can't be planning to marry someone who's not yet a Christian. Now, what I would have done, and this is just my personal opinion, what I would have done, I would have said, hey, let's give this man a chance to get right with God. You come clean, share with him, hey, I'm studying the Bible, I'm getting my life right with Jesus. This is what I'm doing moving forward. So I don't feel good about having sex before marriage. I feel like we need to have a Christian wedding. Let's separate. Let's not live together.
That's exactly what I told him.
Yes, but you still lived with him. Like, you needed to do this before, because it sounded like, and that was my next question, Yolanda, was did you make the decision to be celibate before you even shared it with him and kind of like shared, hey, by the way, I made this decision?
No, it was after, we were already living together when I was saved.
Okay.
I decided that, and I sat him down, and we actually went away on a trip, and I said to him, listen, I don't feel right. I said, because this relationship needs to grow, and I do want to get married in the church, I told him. I said, and I can't do this by lying and going to church.
Exactly.
And listening to the word and committing myself to God, and then come home and lay with you.
Exactly.
I said, I can't do that. And he didn't understand. And I understood that he didn't understand.
Of course.
Because all of a sudden I'm taking away and I'm changing everything. And I think he thought it was just a fluke, you know, that it was just something that was going through. And I went away to a woman's conference, and I came back even firmer, believing that I was doing the right thing.
And you are. You're definitely doing the right thing, except for one thing, Yolanda.
Exactly. That I'm still living with him.
Exactly.
So So I gave him a deadline, and because of that, he's very agitated with me. I said that he needs to be out by February 1st.
Okay.
If not, I can move. I have another place that I can move to.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, no, no. And I think what it was that I had left before.
Mm-hmm.
And I moved back in. And I said, okay, you're moving, right? And he said, yes, I'm moving. But he didn't. He didn't move. So now what I did was I said, I need to bring somebody in that could hear what I'm saying so they understand that he understands that he has a deadline.
Okay.
He has to do this. And I'm okay with it. I'm okay that, you know, if he decides, you know, oh, heck, I don't want to do this anymore and I'm not going to be saved. All I do is I pray for him. I don't even tell him anymore that I pray for him, because when I say it, I would say, Lance, let's just pray, or, you know, I'll pray for you, because these are big decisions. He would get upset with me and say, oh, so now you're a Bible thumper. And I said, no, I'm just doing what's right, what I feel that's right in my heart. That's all I'm doing. I said, I'm sorry if I put you through some changes. I'm sorry that if, you know, but I really believe that for me, this is the right thing for me. But then I would think, okay, I'm going to let it go. And then something inside me, every time I go, the prayer says, don't give up. So is it, I'm not giving up on him. I'm praying for him to be saved, because I know that's the only way this can work. So I even signed up for a class, and it's starting next week, on unevenly yoked, so I can understand more about this.
And I think that's great. And I think you're heading in the right direction. Don't let the emotions get the best of you. The Bible is clear. Do not be yoked with an unbeliever. That's it. And it doesn't really work, Yolanda, as much as you want to say it's going to work if you get saved. Like, this is his own path. Just like you had to find your way and God was calling you, he's going to have to find his way. And it may or may not be God using you to help him get there. And we got to trust, and this is the hard part for us, is we got to trust that everybody has to make their own decision. And when we see someone going down the wrong path, we care about them. We want them to do it the right way. But it doesn't sound like he's really open right now.
No, he's not.
And there's nothing
the
you could do.
The Bible was a controlling, and I used this as an issue. I used this as a sample for him. I said, okay, he's in law enforcement. And I said, you, when you went to the academy, you had a book, right, that taught you all about the laws and it taught you. I said, well, that's all the Bible is. The Bible is our law. I said, so why do you feel so adamant that you shouldn't read it because it's about a control? I said, we always have to give into something. So you give into your job. You give into the rules that you go by. Well, that's what the Bible is. It's our rules that we need to go by.
But Yolanda, this is what you got to do. You're pleading with him, and that's awesome that you care, that you love him. But at this point, you already know what you need to do. I think you've given him his chance. You got to let God do his part. Like, you can't be God for him. And I think you know that. It doesn't mean you can't have communication with him. I mean, you have a child together, but to make that decision, you need to stick by it. You shouldn't be unequally yoked, and you shouldn't be living in the same house with him and you know, getting ready to marry someone that's not a Christian. And you can see why. If you're having issues now, just imagine what it would be like if you did marry him. Because you're not evenly yoked. You're not seeing things the same way. You know, it's like the light and the dark just can't coexist. So my prayer, and I'll be praying for you, Yolanda, is that he would have a change of heart, and that God would use any situation, even someone else, to help him to see the error of his ways, and that your child can be, you know, you can have a real family, but it would only happen when he gives his life to Christ. All right.
Yeah.
So we're praying. We hear prayer. We're definitely in it. We'll have them on our hearts and on our prayers.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you, Yolanda. Thank you for your call.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
We are Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise Your Inspiration Station. We have time for a few more calls. Reach out to us at 855-454-5905. Let's go to Shelley calling in from Philadelphia. Shelley, good morning. You're live on the air.
Yes, this is Reverend Knight. Do I have time to give a comment or what? I mean, I know the young lady talking a long time. Do I have
go ahead. Reverend Knight, go for it, man. Go for it.
Go for it?
Yes, sir. I just need you to turn your radio down.
So happy New Year to you, my brother.
Thank you, but I need you to turn off your radio completely. We're getting feedback.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
We're getting feedback. You need to turn your radio completely off, Reverend Mac.
All right, okay. Let me turn it off. Hold on.
Has it completely off.
Mm-hmm. So just as a reminder for all the callers, when you call in, please make sure that radio is off in the background because we do get that feedback.
Yes, I did turn it off.
All right, great. So what did you want to share? I know you were listening.
My gracious, man.
Happy New Year.
I listen to, man. All this stuff going on with these couples, I mean, look, it's not good. I mean, it's good. It's not good to be alone, but it's good to wait on the Lord.
Absolutely.
If you wait on the Lord, he's going to come through for you. But if you rush the Lord, you're going to make a mistake, my brother.
Well, the Bible does say it's not good to be alone, right? But
it's not good to be alone.
But it says it was good for man not to be alone.
Man, maybe, you know what I mean?
Maybe some women should be alone. I don't know.
Except they agree. You know, it seems like there ain't too much agreement going on there with that couple.
Well, you know what's worse than sometimes people feel lonely and they want to be with someone? What's worse is to be with the wrong person. And that's
right.
Something that Tiffany,
we
always talk to Tiffany about.
Like you made a statement. Say, look, if you get married to the person, it's going to be worse than it is now.
Well, also, if you listen to our previous caller, I mean, if things are bad now, and
right.
She's unevenly yoked now, and things are bad, like what would it be like when you actually get married? I mean, it's not going to get better. Usually marriage, you know, magnifies whatever's there. So if there's this great love and commitment, then it usually gets magnified. But if there's something there that's not good, that gets magnified as well. So if there's, you know, pain and bitterness and, you know, attitudes and even hurt, you know, it gets magnified.
Absolutely. But so I advise all couples that are looking for a mate and just tell them just to wait on the Lord and let the Lord give them their heart desires and seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, my brothers and sisters, will be added unto you. So you got to put God first. Let God be the first priority of your life, because he knows what we need. Correct?
Amen. Absolutely, he does.
And he promised, look, God promised, he promised to supply all our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus.
Amen, amen.
And that's the word. You got to see, we stand on our own word, but our own word don't mean nothing to God's word.
Absolutely. Well, Reverend Mac, we thank you.
When you stand on God's word, he's going to come through for you.
He always does. Well, Reverend Mac, thank you so much. And you and your wife have a happy new year. Thank you. It's time to come clean in 2015. Thank you, Reverend Mac.
Bye-bye. Absolutely.
All right. Take care. Let's go to, it's Latrice. Okay, let's go to Latrice calling in on line one. Latrice, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning,
Latrice.
How is everyone this morning?
We're breathing on schedule.
Yeah, we're all breathing on schedule, right? And I think we're also having a good conversation here on just coming clean for the new year.
Yes, so I have to come clean. I've been with my husband now for 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
Where we have 4 beautiful children, and mind you, I'm 28, he's 35.
Okay.
So I met him when I was very young, and, you know, he used to cheat a lot. Cheat so much, he made a baby on me. You know, he would mentally abuse me and sometimes physically. And I'm like, okay, just being young, I'm like, okay, I forgive him. But we end up getting married. I started praying, and I'm asking God to reveal, like, certain things because I'm like, I know this is not right.
Okay.
This is not how love is supposed to be. And I'm about to start crying.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, he's revealing so much to me, and it's like I'm thinking that he's changing, but it's like so much is coming out. And I'm starting to do things that I think that he's doing, and I don't want to turn into him. Like, I have a friend, and I find comfort in this friend. But I'm like, am I wrong? But I can't go back. I feel like that relationship is toxic. That marriage is hell. And I can't go back. But he's fighting so hard now, as he say. And I'm like, what do I do? I'm just so confused.
All right. Well, a couple of things. I think, number one, well, thank you. And we really do appreciate your courage to like, hey, I got to get clean. I got to get open about this. And I think you're absolutely right. You're feeling a lot of hurt, a lot of pain, and you're getting this from your husband, the person that you're committed to for the rest of your life. And that's hurtful. And you have 4 children together, correct?
Yes.
Now, I just want to pause for a minute and say that you also mentioned, you say you have a friend, and I'm taking it's a male friend?
Yes.
Okay. Now, why are you going to this person, this male friend, for comfort?
I go to him because when I feel like he's the only person that never hurt me. He was like my best friend. Mm-hmm. And I find comfort in him. And when I talk to him, it's like he uplifts me. You know, he not telling me the things, but you know, it's not like he's not telling me what any other guy, like I could have went to any other guy, but I didn't. You know, I feel like it's a connection.
But have you had a relationship with him already, sexual?
I did, but it was just two times. But you know, it wasn't nothing. We were like, you know,
it wasn't nothing. Does your husband know about this?
Yes, he does. Yeah. That's my part. I tell him everything, like, because I don't want to end up like him. Like, I'm just finding out that, you know, you have a whole nother life.
Okay, so basically your husband's living a double life.
He is, and he's in denial. And that's the part that I don't want to be in denial.
Now, are you with him more mainly because of the children now?
At the point in my, I was. But the point that I'm at now, I can do it by myself. I feel like I'm strong enough because I pray, I put God before anything.
Okay.
So a lot of the things that I'm doing now, I'm not saying that God would, you know, go tell me to be with this man because I'm married. I know they say for better or for worse. I'm not for fool or for worse. Like, I'm not no fool. If I see things and he keep revealing it to me, where do I go? Like, do I follow my destiny? Or, you know, it's just a lot. Like,
well, it's important, Latrice, to have boundaries. I mean, your husband is out there being unfaithful. If he's living a double life, if there's something that can cause you danger, even your husband being unfaithful to you, you never know what disease he'll bring. Your mom, you have to take care of your children. So I think you know the good you ought to do there. You know that, listen, you can put your foot down. That's not sin, or that's not going against the will of God to say, hey, I'm going to have boundaries. We can't have a relationship like this unless he repents and changes. So I think that's number one. But then number two, you just got to be careful that, you know, the devil is working all over this. And this person you're calling your friend, I just have a hard time believing that he's a friend of the marriage and there's someone that you've already slept with. It just doesn't, it doesn't ring safe relationship to me. It just, it's not safe. It's an unsafe relationship. You're in a very vulnerable place. It sounds more like you need a church family or you need a group of spiritual women, especially older women that can counsel you, but not some other guy. Because you know, this is,
I don't go around them or like we talk. And,
okay.
You know, it's not like I'm not in a vulnerable place to where it's though. Cause
so you're talking to him on the phone. It's not in person.
Yeah, we talk on the phone. Like I've seen him probably like twice within like 6 months. So wow. I'm making sure I.
Well, Latrice, I hear you, and here's the thing. I'm just saying, you called me. Mm-hmm. I could tell you it.
It's not safe.
It doesn't seem, it seems like you're treading in some really thin ice, some dangerous waters. Again, my greatest advice to you would be, you know, and we shared this earlier about, you know, humility and pride, that, you know, pride comes before destruction. And you just in humility saying, wow, you need some strong, spiritual, mature women around you. And I don't know if you have that, if you have a church home. But that's what it sounds like you need at this point, because or even if it's, you know, just some strong married couples that can get in there and help you, because, of course, your husband needs a ton of help as well. Mm-hmm. So but just a word of caution there. I just think, you know, the devil is working in all this. And what does he want to do? He always wants to steal, kill and destroy. Mm-hmm. So think about it. He's already stolen so much from you. The next thing he's going for is to kill. That's just how the devil works. And then Jesus says the opposite, right? He said he wants us to have life to the full.
Yes. I'm so happy I called them today.
Yes.
Because there was something like it was eating me up, you know, because I hold everything and I don't talk to anyone.
Yeah.
I don't talk at all. So I might need to, you know, find my home and start talking. And
Yeah. All right, well, Latrice, we want to say definitely thank you for calling. If you can stay on the line, I want to connect you with Larry so he can give you our number if you want to reach out to some more to us, you know, outside of our show.
Okay, I would love that.
Thank you, Latrice.
Thank you.
You have a great time.
Take care.
Well, Tiffany, this is our very first show of 2015, mm-hmm. and this definitely seems like it was time to come clean.
Yeah.
I'm sure there was a lot, many, many more of you just wanting to come clean and deal with things. We hope and pray that today's program really encourage you towards, you know, doing that.
Absolutely.
Having a great start, leaving the baggage behind you and really coming clean.
It is quite important. And we thank you so much for listening. We hope that you will continue to listen throughout the remainder of 2015. Much love going to our in-studio producer, Larry. Thank you for all that you do. Have a peaceful, positive, and productive day. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.